Good to see everybody here this morning. We're missing a few, but we're still here. So we're glad everybody made it. This morning, as we read from our scripture reading, we need to be watchful. We need to be paying attention. We need to be on guard. We need to be aware. And so we see the necessity of this when we know that the possibility of something is going to happen. To be on guard means to be prepared to defend oneself, just like a watchman would be watching for an army so that they could call everybody and say, hey, get to the walls, we got to defend ourselves. And to be ready to warn others. That's another reason. And he talked about the servant, be careful lest you be found asleep when the master comes back. So you got to be ready to warn others. And we need to be ready to serve. And that's one that we normally don't associate with this phrase. But yes, we need to be ready to serve every opportunity we get. Because that's the only way we are going to demonstrate Christ in our lives, is by serving others. So, in Mark 13, once again, take heed, watch and pray. In other words, some versions actually says, be on guard, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And it talked about the man going to the far country and gave authority to each of his servants and gave him work to do and commanded the doorkeeper, now you keep watch. Now, I don't know how many doorkeepers there were, but the implication is there weren't that many. But he was supposed to be awake all the time. Now, if the guy was gone for a long time, that'd be a long time without sleep. So he probably couldn't do it. So he probably had some help. Let's just look at it that way. It says in verse 35, watch therefore. And so we see this word, watch. You keep an eye out. You pay attention. You watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Evening, midnight, early morning, the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest suddenly he find you sleeping. And so, yes, we have to be prepared. See, due to the unsettling times of today, we've got to constantly be on guard against those, as Americans, who would destroy our nation and murder any American they could. We know in different parts of the world, you get out there and deal with the locals, you might find yourself dead. And it's not anything out of the ordinary. And while we might think that the likelihood of such happening here, it might be infinitesimal, we must never underestimate the dedicated obsession of the terrorist to harm us in any way possible. And that's basically what terrorists are. They just kind of make us afraid. And a lot of people are afraid. A lot of people are so concerned about this. And it's good to be concerned so we can pay attention, but not to the point of obsession where it drives us mad. See, the word in our text means literally to be sleepless. In other words, don't go to sleep. The word expresses not just mere wakefulness, but the watchfulness of those who are intent upon a thing. It's like you're expecting something to happen and you're waiting for it and you're thinking that it's going to be imminent. And so we do that a lot of times, like December 31st, when it gets about 12:45 p.m., we're looking for the new year. We're watchful for it. Then we watch the TV news, then when all the fireworks go off, well, Happy New Year, everybody. But anyway, we need to be watchful, expecting something. And that's what this word actually means. See, Jesus does not beg or exhort us to be watchful in that sense. He commands us to do just as we have just read. He commands us to be watchful. Every one of us, we've got to be paying attention for what to expect. And of course, we know there's several things we need to watch out for. First of all, we've got to watch out for ourselves. We've got to make sure that we're not doing anything that God is going to be upset with. That's going to be the first thing we watch for. We also watch our environment, what's around us, and so we've got to pay attention to what's going on there. And then we also have to be watchful for His coming. We're supposed to watch for His coming. Now, it's been a while since He left, and even in the days of Peter, as he wrote, some mockers and scornful people are going to say, hey, where is His coming? coming. He said he was coming back. He hadn't come back. Maybe he's not going to come back. I mean, they're mockers. They talk like that. And of course, most of those who don't obey God today, they pretty much have the same thing. Well, he said he's coming back. He's not coming back. And they've just convinced themselves he's not coming back. And the sad thing is, a lot of people live as if they don't expect him to come back. And sadly, a lot of Christians do the same thing. They figure, well, I'll just have my fun, sow my wild oats, and when I get older and I can't do this stuff anymore, I will straighten up and get right and be ready for the Lord to come. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Remember that? Yeah, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So, he commanded this. Our text shows that we as disciples of Christ must be on guard for two reasons. And the first is be watchful for the foe. In other words, there's an enemy out there. There's a danger out there. We've got to watch that. And the second is to be alert for our Lord's return. So that's basically twofold reason for us to watch. Maybe some people call this double vision. Well, I mean, if you're talking about your eyesight, double vision isn't good. But when we're talking from a spiritual standpoint and mixing up the physical human body, we do have to be paying attention. We've got to be watching everything that goes around us, don't we? We've got to be paying attention. Because if you're not paying attention, what's going to happen? Something bad going to happen. So we need to do that. Why we should be on guard in the first place? Because we do not know when Jesus will come again. See? Nobody knows. As the passage that we read tells us, not the angels. The angels don't know. Jesus, the Son, does not know when it's going to happen. Only God the Father has decided that. He knows when he's going to come back. He hasn't revealed it to anybody. And so, we don't know when it's going to be. You might think that, well, this world has gotten so bad that he's going to come any moment. Well, we need to be prepared for that just in case. But our world is not as bad as it was 100 years ago, or 200, or 400, or 1600, or 1800, or 1900 years ago. The world doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun. The scriptures teach us that. So he will come when he is least expected, when people aren't paying attention. And that includes us. When we're not paying, even though we might be watching for him and cognizant of the fact that he's going to come back at any moment, we're not going to know when it's going to happen. And there won't be any warning signs either. That's what he tells us. There won't be any warning signs. Now, there's going to be a great noise coming from heaven. We'll wake the dead, and all the dead will rise in this time. All the righteous into his bosom, and the wicked into eternal torment. And everyone will stand before God in judgment and give an account of themselves. And it's all going to happen just like that. The twinkling of an eye, as Paul says. We're going to be going on, driving down the road. Next thing we know, we're either in heaven or hell. I mean, just like that. It's going to be that fast. Well, how can that happen? All these billions of people. Hey, we're talking about God here, right? All things are possible with God. See, Matthew 24:44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And when he comes, our watchfulness will be manifested by our state of preparedness. Are we ready? If we're too busy involved in sin, we're not ready. And so we're not paying attention to that. We're not thinking about that. And so we just continue doing what we're doing. We've got to be ready for this. Matthew 25, beginning verse 1, the parable of five wise and five foolish virgins. Remember that? They all went, they got their lamps, but then the five wise virgins, they had enough foresight to carry some extra oil to put in their lamps. Five foolish virgins, they didn't do it. We can't give you any, we might run out. So they went into town to buy it, and while they were gone, the bridegroom came. They shut the door. What did he say? Open up to it. No, too late. You missed the boat. Afterward, the other virgins came and saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We also need to watch because Satan has great power. Now, granted that his power is limited. And really, the only power he really has is what you give him. We got to think about that. It's what you give him. Excuse me. Ephesians 6:11. We're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We know he is trying constantly to devour us. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And then, of course, we know temptation is Satan's greatest weapon. He provides us with that. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We kind of talked about that in class this morning from Galatians 5. The flesh and the spirit are at odds with each other. They're at war with each other. And it happens. 1 Corinthians 3 and also Romans chapter 7 talks about this. All right, sometimes he presents himself to us in bold wickedness. Like I said, he's going around seeking whom he can devour. He just come out flat out, hey, I'm the devil, I'm going to attack you. And he does that. Sometimes he does that. But sometimes he acts more subtly. Acts 5:3. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now, really, in all honesty, Ananias made this choice himself. But yet the implication is that he was guided to do it by Satan. I think they're giving him a little bit too much credit here, and I think Satan gets the rap for a lot of things that he doesn't do. He just lays out the opportunity, and everybody makes their own choice if they're going to do it or not. And when they do it, yes, it's called sin. So he is more subtle about it sometimes. Genesis 3:1. Talk about now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And then, of course, he asked Eve, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And we know that story, how that goes. Sometimes Satan even appears as a minister of light, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. We know Satan is the father of lies, and he's full of deception. And so if he can get people to believe that they're safe and going to heaven, or they're saved, then that's all he needs to do. If they're not saved, of course, they're going to suffer eternity in torment. See, Satan's servants don't hesitate to hold ecclesiastical offices or occupy pulpits. They do it all the time. They do it in the denominations. They do it in other organizations. They hold these offices, supposed to be something special, and everybody bows down to them and kisses their rings and things like that. And they come out and start talking, and they don't say anything what the Bible says, and yet people still, ooh, he spoke. Like when just recently when the Pope said there's no such thing as hell. Now, wait a minute. I read about hell in the Bible. I know it's a place that's there. Now, here's this religious man saying there's no such thing as hell. Who am I going to believe? Well, most people are going to follow what Satan tells them and believe what Satan tells them. And so Satan is successful when he can get someone to believe the error, believe the lie, and go along thinking, oh, I'm okay, I don't have to make any changes in my life or anything like that, and they're still on the pathway to hell. I mean, Satan is happy with that. He's deceived them. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. There's a lot of warnings in the scriptures about these smooth talkers and fancy talkers and entertaining talkers. But those who manage to speak the truth, they sometimes wonder, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So that's what the world needs, is people who speak the truth. And all these false teachers, they are nothing more than Satan's servants, because they are accomplishing what Satan wants, the destruction of your soul. Now, how can we be found watching when Satan tempts us at the same time watch for our Lord's coming? Some of us don't feel like we have the mental capacity to be multitasking, right? We don't like to multitask. We want to do one project, get it done, then go to the next project. And some people, well, when it comes, oh man, I got to watch out for sin, but I'm also supposed to do this. I mean, that kind of tears your brain apart, right? It kind of messes you up. So, we can do this. And I'm going to show you, each of you can do this. We do it by watching our words. Watch what we say. See, teachers of the gospel have a great responsibility to watch what they say and the words they use. Remember from James 3:1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Then in verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God, or in the image of God. I mean, so we have to be very careful how we use our tongues and the words that we say. We're also told that we will be judged by the words that we speak. Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And then in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. So it's a special thing if the words are fitly spoken. And it takes a little bit of wisdom on our part to say the right thing at the right time. But first of all, and most importantly, we should not engage in filthy conversation. Now, where are you going to be able to engage in filthy conversation? Practically everywhere. Maybe not here in the church building, but you get out in that world, you're going to find filthy conversation. You're going to even find it in the grade schools, the elementary schools. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We should be saying words that will encourage people to be faithful to God, to pay attention to God and live faithful to God. That's what everything we're supposed to be doing. That's what our worship is all about, is to edify one another. And so when we're engaged in filthy conversation, that's not good. That doesn't help anybody. Sometimes even idle words. You know, some people just talk, ramble on. And Jesus says there's a warning about that. I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We're going to have to give an account for everything we say, everything we do, and everything we even think. We're going to have to give an account to God. And God knows it all. We're not going to be able to hoodwink him. We might fool others, but we're not going to be able to hoodwink God at all. See, the word for idle means not carefully considered or answering without thinking. How many people do you know do that? A lot of people do that. They don't think about what they're saying. They just answer, right? And then, of course, usually, sometimes, if the press doesn't like them, they're going to find a problem with that. But anyway, we watch ourselves by watching our actions. See, God will weigh our deeds and works, not just what we think or say. You know, 1 Samuel 2:3, the warning is, talk no more so very proudly, Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. You know, that this phrase, walk the walk, if you're going to do that, you've got to talk the talk, or flip that around. If you're going to talk the talk, you better be walking the walk. Yeah, we know how that goes. And so we have to be very careful, though. And we need to do so with the right, proper attitude of heart as we do that. All right, so it is by these that we will be judged, these idle words. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Yes, we're going to stand before God in judgment. Everybody is. And we're all going to be judged. And we must be, as the scripture says, active, alert, both to be ready for the Lord's coming, that we read about in Matthew 25 and 30, and to resist Satan, that we read in Matthew 26, 41. We've got to be paying attention to all those things. Matthew 26, 41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The watch in Matthew 26, 41 means to give strict attention to be cautious, to take heed, lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity suddenly overtake one. You know, just about every time you're watching a movie and you remember saying, nothing can stop us now, you know what's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen to this person. Oh, everything's fine now. Yeah. Then the whole tone of the movie changes. Yeah, that happens. But you know, a lot of people are on the same pathway. Nothing can stop me now. Guess what? That's when you got to be watching. See, watching our thoughts even. See, God does read our thoughts. And if you have anything in your thoughts, you might see someone across the room and I just hate that. And you might say it yourself, you won't say it out loud. I just hate that person. I just despise them, blah, blah. And you know what? God hears that. Maybe nobody else hears it, but God hears it. We got to watch our thoughts. We will also be judged by these. See, Romans 2:16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God is going to judge the secrets of men. What are those secrets? The things that we don't say. That's what he's going to judge. So the wicked must forsake his evil thinking. Matthew 12:34, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it does. And all you have to do is get someone a little irritated or upset, and words come out that maybe wouldn't normally come out or what you would expect. See, the righteous individual will strive to keep his or her thoughts pure. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Another version says, think on these things. In other words, put your mind there. Find anything that is good, that God says is good, and let your mind dwell there. If you get your mind dwelling on other things, that's where it's going to head. Just like the idea. Think of a pink elephant. No, don't think of a pink elephant, okay? Don't think about a pink elephant. Whatever you're thinking about right now, do not be thinking about a pink elephant. What are you thinking about? Pink elephant. That's right. Okay. Sometimes we watch out by the company that we keep. We've got to be careful. We've got to watch the company we keep. We tend to try and be like those with whom we choose to associate. You ever notice that? Everybody in the group that's together, they all seem to dress together. They talk the same way. They act the same way. They do the same activities. There's no individuals in a group. And so when we hang around people, we want to fit in, right? I mean, that's just kind of like human nature. You just want to fit in. You don't want to feel like an oddball. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. Feel like an oddball. Feel different. Because we are different. As Christians, we are different from people in this world, and we shouldn't stoop down to their level to be accepted by them. If they can't handle us for being a Christian, they're the wrong people to be around. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil companionship corrupts good morals. That's true. We got to watch out. And then we got to watch our hearts. Watching our hearts is the same as our minds, our thoughts, what we have in our overall character. Everything originates from the heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Everything you do in life comes from your heart. Your heart is deceptive. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is evil. The heart is deceptive. And who can know it? Verse 10, God says, I. God is the only one who knows our hearts and our minds. We must always be watchful for the way of escape. You know, God gives that to us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He gives us temptation. He gives us a way of escape. But what do? We choose to ignore that way a lot of times, and we just go ahead and sin. Some people have this idea that, well, God won't let you be tempted beyond what you're able. Well, I mean, it's impossible for me to sin. No. It just says he gives you the way of escape. It's your choice. If you sin, you do so by your choice. There's no, the devil made me do it. There's no, I couldn't help myself. You made the choice yourself. You'll have to pay the consequences. See, the words we choose to speak, all of our deeds and all of our works, whatever we think, the company we choose to keep, whatever we have in our character, all of these things, they all have a bearing upon our watching and waiting. We're waiting for the Lord. We know He's coming. How are we going to behave until that time gets here? We know what we're going to be judged by. We have all the warning given to us. We must be prepared all the time. That will only happen if we put ourselves on guard and prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming. How many of you want to be in a drunken stupor when the Lord comes back? How many of you want to be in the local bar down there, whatever kind it is? How many of you want to be doing something that is wrong when the Lord comes back again? And sometimes if you have this idea, well, I'm going to do something wrong, I hope the Lord doesn't come back right now, you got a problem if that's what you do. The double vision, we need it. We all need it. So see if you can work towards that double vision. Some people, in order to get ready for the Lord, to be prepared, they've got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very simple, believe that He is the Son of God and that He died on the cross for your sins. Change your life. Repent. Stop doing what you have been doing and start living for Jesus. Start living for God. Start living the life that God wants you to live. Put away the old things and put on the new. Confess the name of Jesus. Let the world know, I am a Christian. And even though that word is misused by so many people in this world today, we can still be proud to say, I am a Christian. And we can talk about that, even though the world has different standards for what Christians are. And then to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. That's the only way to get into Christ. There is no praying for Jesus. There is no anything else. I mean, baptized into Christ. That's how we get into Christ. And that's where all spiritual blessings are, in Christ, not outside of Christ. And after we're baptized, we begin our journey, our spiritual journey, walking with God. And yet we stumble. And what do? When we recognize we've stumbled, we ask for help. We ask for forgiveness. We confess our sins before God, and He will forgive our sins. We seek the help of each other in the body of Christ. We will be fine. We will do that. So, are you on guard? Are you prepared? Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you paying attention to your own actions? Are you just trying to blend in with everybody else? Consider those things. We're going to sing your invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.